Hello and welcome to New Retirement Thinking. My name is Sumay Zaka. Today we're discussing the private retirement savings crisis in South Africa. With us in studio to have that discussion are Sohini Castile, Head of Employee Benefits Consulting at 10X Investments, as well as Mike Wood, Director of Appio Wealth. Welcome to the both of you. So let's start off with the, there's a recent survey that's found about 1 million South Africans. 46% of them have a lack of trust in their retirement industry, while 41% have no provision whatsoever for retirement. Those are staggeringly frightening stats. Perhaps let's start off with you, Sahidi.
Yes, absolutely. So South African respondents were surveyed, and whereas the problem of not saving for retirement is not unique to South Africa, what is that we have an industry and a retirement fund industry that is rife with complexity. As an individual investor, there's over 1,300 unit trusts or investment portfolios that I can choose from. And in order to navigate this minefield, we're not equipped with the correct information or adequate information in order to make the correct choices. And that is one of the findings of the report, that there is a profound lack of trust among South Africans when it comes to the retirement fund industry, and hence a broad sense of disengagement in the entire process.
Why the profound lack of trust, as Sohini has pointed out, do you think?
I believe it's a lack of education. If we look at, I think coming through schools, I think people need to be educated on retirement provision, how compound interest works, what the purpose of putting money away for retirement is. I think according to that same survey, up to 50% of people don't really know what they're going to get out in terms of, they put money away. They don't know what their outcome is going to be. And I think that's a lack of education from either they're not sitting with the correct financial advisor or they're not taking on any advice at all.
1,300 investments that you can choose from. Surely we should be looking at ways that we can simplify the choice for investors out there. Do you think enough is being done on that front?
I believe there is. We partner with a company called Portfolio Metrics. They're a discretionary investment manager. They've got over 15 investment professionals who sit down on a daily basis and they filter through. They've got due diligences on every different fund manager that you can find. I mean, you mentioned there's 1,300 local unit trust funds. There's over 200,000 global unit trust funds. How do us as investors, filter through that and make the correct decision? So we've made this partnership and, we've filtered it down to about 22, 23 different fund managers. When blended together, give us the correct outcomes that our clients are looking for.
So, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think in terms of education, completely agree with what Mike said. There's a huge need over there. I certainly think that there's a major gap that needs to be filled. National Treasury published a survey or a report in recent years that said that only between 6 to 7% of South Africans could actually afford to retire comfortably in a position where they would be able to replace the amount of income that they needed to have a comfortable retirement. Mm-hmm. And that is shocking, and it's very much in line with what we've seen. And really there's a huge gap that needs to be filled. And the biggest concern is really that number has not changed over the past 20 to 25 years. So what are we as an industry doing in order to make sure that in 20 years' time we're not sitting here and saying the same thing?
I'm interested to find out this lack of trust that we're talking about. Is it across age groups? Do you find that perhaps it's a younger audience that have this lack of trust in the industry, or does it straddle across age groups?
If I may, sure. So I think it does go across the board, but I think that there's a particular message for younger people and younger groups in society. I think when we're talking about issues around retirement, sometimes younger people tend to disengage, and that's one of the reasons why we see that there is a huge gap. And one of the findings that we had in the report is that 46% of the people that we interviewed actually came back to say that they had started saving later in life, so started saving for retirement once they had established themselves, got themselves a home, started having kids, and that only 20%, so only one-fifth of the respondents, had actually started saving for retirement when they were younger. And then And in line with that as well, we also asked the people, if you had known then what you know now, would you have done something different? And 50%, over half of the people actually said that they wish they had started at a younger stage when they started working. So I think there's a very powerful message in there for younger people that are starting out their careers. The greatest advantage that you have is time to invest in the market and ensure that your savings grow. Yeah.
Mike, this disinterest, does it worry you?
Definitely. If you look at our younger generation, you know, people want results now. So how are you going to try and convince them that they've got to save and build up a nest egg that they can only sort of dip into in 35, 40 years' time? You know, you go back to the education side of things, and, you know, Einstein said compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it, and he who doesn't pays it. I think another issue that we have coming up, and what adds to our lack of retirement savings in this country, is people are over-indebted. So people are continuously servicing debt, and it, you know, where they don't have disposable income to put away for the longer-term savings in retirement.
Let's see, pause in the conversation. Do stay with us. We'll have more after the break. Welcome back to New Retirement Thinking. With me still in studio is Sohini Castile and Mike Wood. And we've been talking about certainly some very interesting stats that came out of a report, looking at issues such as especially cutting across the board the disinterest that South Africans have in retirement saving plans. But I want to pick up on what I think one of the issues that came out, and that is the gender gap. Sohini, let's start off with you. What is the major issue that came out of the survey when you did this?
So a few things, really, and I think it's quite alarming. It's probably not news to anyone to know that there is a gap in terms of women, what they are paid in terms of their employment. And I think the stats show that women are paid around a quarter less than their male counterparts. That coupled with the fact that at some point it's potentially their careers will be interrupted by pregnancy or child rearing and some sort of family support. And that also going in line with the fact that women are actually living longer. So we also see statistics that women are living longer than their male counterparts as well. And really what that tells me when I hear that is that we need more. We need more money. But in actual fact, what the survey showed is that we actually have less, despite needing more. And the reason for that is that we saw that a majority of the women that were surveyed actually told us that they either don't have any savings plan at all or investment plan, or they have very little understanding around it. And 40% of the women actually said that they didn't have any saving, any investment for retirement. Now, not to say that women are bad at saving. They actually are quite disciplined savers. They tend to prioritize expenses such as, children's expenses, household expenses. But the problem that we found is that very often the money was not invested for growth. It was actually saved in, for example, a bank account. And unfortunately, saving a bank account, earning money market rates of return over a long period of time is not going to enable you to keep up with the cost of inflation. So investing for growth is crucial from a female perspective.
Mike, do you have anything to add to that?
Definitely. And I think there's some great points that Sohini's brought up. But couple that with, you know, we found our female investors and our female clients to be a lot more conservative. So as you say, they're investing into money market related accounts, you know, with very little exposure to any equities or offshore equities or bonds or properties. So they aren't investing in growth assets. So take all of that into consideration. You know, you need to be investing in those growth assets to make up for that shortfall that they have. You know, another solution is for them to work slightly longer. You know, if, you know, the stats do show that women tend to live longer than men, they should extend their working careers to try and give themselves an extra 3 or 4 or 5 years of reinvesting plus contributions to their retirement funds to help them close that gap.
Mm. Has there anything been done to look at some of the implications of that? Because the fact that they live longer and they haven't saved or invested correctly to cater for that fact, that could be a very worrying outcome down the line.
I definitely think so. And especially if you look at the role that women play in society, such a crucial role. And I think the empowerment of women would have a broad impact on society as a whole. And certainly if we were to communicate more and enable women to be more engaged in their finances and more engaged in their investments, it would have a ripple effect, not just for the women themselves, but the families around them.
Right. Very quickly, two talking points I want to touch on. The impact of this lack of saving and disinterest in retirement planning, the impact on that on government. Your thoughts? We don't often speak about that.
Yes, true. And I think that of all the parties that should be concerned, government is definitely on this list, because the impact of people not being in a position to save adequately for retirement and retire comfortably, that impact will fall perhaps on their friends and their family, but ultimately on the state as well, where that burden will fall upon government. And I think they also have a role to play in ensuring that better regulations are put in place so that there's better disclosure, better transparency around these issues that are causing people to disengage.
Yeah. Mike, very quickly, you mentioned something about us being the sandwich generation and some of the impacts that can have long term.
Correct. I mean, if you look at where we are, you know, we've got a huge generation that are currently supporting their kids and supporting their parents. You know, so where is the disposable income to be able to look after their own retirement savings and their own retirement planning? You know, I think where we can come right is, but again, I'll make reference to sitting with a wealth coach or with a wealth manager or an advisor, you know, to help you pinpoint that plan. I mean, it's like trying to plan a road trip and not having a destination in mind. So I definitely think, you know, it has placed a lot of stress on our generation and the generations in front of us, but definitely something that can be overcome. I'm very positive about that.
Leave on a positive note. Thanks to the both of you. And that's it for this episode of New Retirement Thinking. Until next time, from myself and the rest of the team, goodbye.